two things that I would like for you to take away this morning. They're in your notes. The two main points: Jesus first teaches us how to be guests in his kingdom so that he can teach us how to be hosts here in this life. So let's take a look at the parable, and it is a parable. We need to understand that Jesus is not telling us that we shouldn't have a circle of friends that we do. He isn't saying at all that we shouldn't invite neighbors and relatives to our homes or to banquets. He's simply telling us that there is much more that can be done because of who we are as his guests in the kingdom. So he begins by telling these Pharisees who have all gathered together, and he says, when you get invited to a dinner, don't take the place of honor. And so it is in life as well. It is our nature for us to think well of ourselves. And there's nothing wrong with that. We ought to think well of ourselves. After all, God created us. We are his people. We are a part of his family. Jesus died for us. We are very, very important people. The problem is that so often when we think well of ourselves, we don't think of others. Because it's really hard for human beings to have more than one person in their mind at one time. And usually we're the one who is at the very top of our list. What Jesus is saying is that in his kingdom, we really don't deserve to be invited at all. Think about that for a moment. When we enter this world, we are sinners. It is our nature. We are created in sin. We are sinful creatures. And God says that sinners cannot come into his presence. He says that we are to be perfect, and that the wages of sin, of any sin at all, is death and separation from God. So that is how we enter. We don't deserve to be invited. And yet, because of his grace and his love, all people are invited, no matter who we are, no matter what we have done. So we begin with that. One of the things that motivates people more than any in this life is what others think about us. And we know that's true, right? We care what other people think. It so often, drives our choices, who it is that we hang out with, what we buy, what we do. And it starts very, very young. How many times were you invited to a party as a child and you felt included? And how many times were you not invited and you felt excluded? I see it all the time still today when there is a class party. Some kids are invited, some are not. Those who aren't invited feel like they are on the outside looking in. Even as we teach our children, we teach them about peer pressure, don't we? You probably said as a parent something like, just because all the other kids are doing it doesn't mean that you have to. If they all jumped off the cliff, would you jump too? Well, we know how that goes. Of course not. And yet we realize as adults that we are just as driven by what other people think. I've often wondered why it is that we have china cabinets in our home. If you have a china cabinet in your home, how often do you use that stuff? A couple times a year. It's great stuff. Want to keep it around, certainly. But how often do we use it for those special occasions when we want to impress people? And who do we invite to the parties? I often wonder when I go to wedding receptions. Some of the people barely know the bride or the groom, and yet there they are. Why is that? Because we want to impress people. Why do we buy the cars that we do? Why do we live in the neighborhoods that we do? So often, it's because we want to impress people. Now, we don't want people to know that we're trying to impress them, and so we carry around this false humility. Now, here's just a silly example, but you know how it can go. You come to church this morning, or maybe last Sunday when it was Easter, and you wear your new Easter dress or your new Easter suit or your new Easter tie. Ladies, maybe you have a new accessory. Maybe it's a sweater. Maybe Maybe it's a necklace. Maybe it's a bracelet. And someone makes a comment. What a beautiful dress you have on. What are you going to say? Oh, this old thing. Been sitting in the closet for years. It's not new at all. Or guys, we really know better. Someone gives us a compliment. We did something well. We got a promotion. And they say, oh, look at you. Look at that wonderful thing you did. And what do we say? Ah, anybody could have done it. We try to elevate ourselves through false humility. We want to look good by having people think that we don't think that much of ourselves. So here is the point for this morning. It's letter C there in your notes. Spiritual maturity, it's not about pleasing others at all. But rather, it's about pleasing God. And the way to do that, Jesus says, is to forget ourselves. To not worry about who's first in line. To not worry about the place of honor. Jesus said it's a whole lot better if you're invited to this important banquet. Don't sit up here. Don't sit in the place where everyone can see you. Sit back there. Then if you're really important, you'll get asked to come up front. Then everyone can see how important that you are. Because if you're up here and someone is more important than you and you're asked to go to the back, it'll be the walk of shame. Well, what he's trying to say to us is that we should be grateful that we're invited to the party at all. We should be abundantly thankful that God would die for us and that we get invited to the party at all. There's a verse here from Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 that reminds us that it's not so much our behavior that God looks at, but rather our attitude. The old adage, attitude is everything. Jesus says, or Paul writes, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Think about that. God is everything. Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Creator of all, perfect, deserves our worship and praise. And yet, Christ Jesus, who is God, who is everything, looks at himself as nothing. How much more then that we as a creature, created by God, sinful as a human being, should look at ourselves and be nothing as well. So the first lesson is this. Jesus teaches us how to be guests. Don't take the place of honor. Don't elevate yourself through false humility, but rather become mature in looking at others and how you can please God rather than yourself. Now, this is a hard saying. Jesus says throughout the Gospels, many hard sayings, and it caused many people to turn away. Well, my friends, it gets even harder yet. This is just to set us up for the second part. He teaches us how to be a grateful guest, a humble guest, so that we can be a good host. Now, let's just say, for example, that I invited you to my house for dinner this evening. Now, know that Sharon will cook, I will not, so it will be good. And a lot of you have been to my house, you know that it's going to be good. We're not going to serve you stale bread and water. It's going to be a real meal. Why would we do that? That's what hosts do, right? That's what all of you would do if you invited someone to your house. You share your blessings. We all know that. We know that we are to share our spiritual blessings as well as our material. And that's all fine and good. Jesus says that the problem with this is that if I invite you to my house and I bless you, I'm going to expect to go to your house. You're going to invite me over for dinner. And we're going to have a wonderful meal. And that's how the world thinks. And there's nothing wrong with that. But he's saying how much greater a blessing it would be if your kindness never gets repaid. Because that's what God does. Can we possibly repay Him for the death of His Son on the cross? Can we possibly repay God for eternal life? Can we possibly repay Him for forgiveness? Or peace? Or joy? And yet, God gives us all of these things simply because He loves us. And so the parable is saying then, not at all that you shouldn't have friends who are like you. It's not saying at all that you shouldn't invite people to your home. It's not saying at all don't invite your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors. Do all of that. Just understand that there are so much greater blessing when you invite the poor and the maimed and the crippled and the blind. Because they can't repay you. In these next 5 weeks, I'm hoping that as we get reacquainted with the Donovan family, as we watch these videos, as you examine the Word of God, and hopefully as you discuss this amongst yourselves, that you are going to look at people differently, and that just possibly you might widen that circle. Because remember, at one time, you were outside of the circle of God. And there was nothing to recommend you. And yet God in His goodness took you in. And we are to do the same. In a few moments, we are going to go to the Lord's table. And this table can remind us of our dual role. First of all, as guests, invited guests, welcome guests, yet undeserving guests. And at the same time, remind us of our role in this world as hosts to those who are not yet invited. Now, as we take a look up here, who would you imagine ought to be the guest of honor? Jesus, of course. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is the one that we have come to worship. And yet, what is the attitude of Jesus? Not born as king in a palace, but born in a lowly stable. He doesn't have an elevated throne, but rather He hangs from a cross. And He didn't take world leaders as His disciples, but rather world losers, which is good because it means we qualify to be His disciples. And so the place of honor is not open, or at least it should not be open, because Jesus should take that place. And yet, as always, He humbles Himself, and He's not our guest, but rather He becomes our host. In fact, what do we call these little wafers that we're going to eat here in a few moments? The host is a reminder that this meal is for us poor sinners, reminding us that we always have a place in the kingdom of God, that we always have a place at His table. And what do we say as you come to this table once again, as we always do in the church? Welcome to the Lord's table. May we say the same to those who are the lame and the poor and the crippled and the blind, the lost, the lonely, those who may appear a little different than our usual circle of friends. And let's be the host that God wants us to be. Let's invite them into our life as well. Amen.